Okay, first of all, there's nothing magic about 30 minutes. It should be at least 30 minutes. So I'm going to go longer than that anyway. Just consider it to be time to do it whenever I am done speaking. There's two experiments, like what we're talking about, like you're doing. But to get your actual measurements, you're doing the same thing. And what you really care about in both of these experiments is enzyme activity. You're trying to measure enzyme activity. Now, enzymes are catalysts, right? And catalysts change substrate, which are reactants, into products. And they do that much faster than it would occur without the enzyme's help. In other words, they speed up reactions. So trying to quantify or put numbers to enzyme activity really amounts to answering the question, how well is the enzyme doing its job of transforming reactants into products or substrates into products, right? The more substrate in a given amount of time that gets transformed into product, the better the enzyme must be working, in other words. So you're assessing enzyme activity based on that transformation of reactant into product. Now, measuring how much reactant or substrate is there or how much product is there is not something you're going to do directly. Right? These are solutions. So the amount of substrate that's in that solution is a concentration. Same thing for the product, right? How much is there in solution is another way of saying what is the concentration of either the substrate or the product. Is that clear? But think about concentration. Even though there's different ways of measuring concentration, to measure it directly, for instance, for molar, which is one example of concentration we've been talking about, to measure that directly, you would have to get in there and count numbers of particles of that type, either substrate or a product, and then divide by the number of liters that's in your tube, right? You're not going to be able to do that. So you're not making a direct measurement of concentration in order to assess how well the enzyme is working. Instead, we're going to use an indirect measurement of concentration using a... Damn it, why do they always hide pens from me? Oh, they're there. Using an indirect method called spectrophotometry. So this is another... Whoops. This is another metry or way of measuring something. The spectrophoto part of that refers to the spectrum of visible light, which, remember, is just a little slice of the overall electromagnetic spectrum like we talked about in photosynthesis. All electromagnetic energy is the same, but what's different about one category to the next or one color to the next is the wavelength, right? Well, what we're going to take advantage of in spectrophotometry, or what spectrophotometry is based on, is the fact that certain particles, which are solute particles in solution, are able to absorb photons, right? Some things can absorb photons of a certain wavelength, some can't. And what do we in general call things that can absorb photons? Pigments, correct. Okay, so spectrophotometry is a way to indirectly measure concentration by measuring how much light gets absorbed by the solution. Assuming that the assumption here is that the particles that you're interested in are absorbing some photons. And the more gets absorbed, more of those particles must exist in solution. That's why it's an indirect measurement. if you were to take apart your spectrophotometer, which is this Vernier brand, it's in this box, which you'll be hooking up to a computer over here once I shut up. If you were to look under the hood of that, you have a light source on one end, a lamp, which is shining white light, which, remember, is trillions and trillions of photons of different wavelengths throughout the visible spectrum. Right, so it's a mixture of all colors, basically, even though color is in our mind. That light, that beam of white light, goes down a tunnel until it gets to the well. I'm looking at a top view of the instrument. If you look at your black box spectrophotometer, there's a well. That's where you put your tubes in. But it's a special type of tube I'll talk about in a minute. Anyway, the light eventually reaches that chamber, and that chamber or well is where you put your tube, so the light passes through the sample, which is your solution. Okay? And then at the far end inside the machine, there is a collecting screen which is able to produce an electrical output based on how much light is striking that screen. Well, there's also a computer in the instrument that figures out, I mean, that gives you a numerical output, okay? But you can set it in different modes. You'll be using an absorbance mode, okay? The idea here is that if you know how much light... Well, the idea is the more light that gets absorbed by solutes, the less light is going to reach this, right? That would be a high absorbance if not much light reaches the end. If all the light passes through, that would be zero absorbance, which would mean no solute present. All right, so what you're actually getting as an output from the machine using the computer's help is an absorbance value. It'll be a number that you have to write down as your raw data for each of your different tubes. But a spectrophotometer cannot give you an absolute output, an absolute value or measurement. Like a ruler, for instance. You know, you look up 3 centimeters on a ruler. That's absolute. A spectrophotometer can only give you a relative measurement, meaning a value compared to some other value. Which is why you have to prepare the instrument first before you use it for your samples by calibrating it with a special tube called a blank that's just like all your samples, has all the same ingredients, except it's missing that one ingredient that you're interested in, the solute of interest. All right? You have to set up the spectrophotometer so it knows how much light goes through something that you know doesn't have any of the solute you're interested in. Now, one thing I didn't draw in here is a prism. On the older models, which were much bigger as well, you would actually set a wavelength by turning a knob. This is done with a computer now, but what you were doing in those old versions is actually twisting a prism. White light going through a prism gives you the dark side of the moon cover, right? It's all the different wavelengths get refracted or bent when they go through a prism, but different wavelengths bend to a different degree than other wavelengths, which is why white light spreads out into red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. And those will all go at different directions, right? Well, keep in mind what pigments do. A pigment has a specific wavelength that it absorbs better than any other wavelength, which would correspond to the peaks in those absorption spectra that we looked at in that one slide. So, first of all, to use a spectrophotometer, you have to know what kind of solute you're looking for. It doesn't allow you to just look for random stuff. You have to know, going into it, what kind of solute you're looking for, and you also have to know what specific wavelength of light that particular type of solute absorbs well. And when you adjust the wavelength, what you're really doing is twisting this prism so that just that one color of light is the only light that makes it through this. The rest of them will just glance off to the side and not be used. All right? That means you set it up so that just the right color of light is going through your sample, and in the blank that you prepare, you don't have any of the solute you're looking for. You prepare it that way so that however much light does make it through, it won't be all of it, because some of it will bounce off of the material that the tube is made out of itself. But however much light does make it through, when you zero the instrument, you're basically telling it that's 100% of the light is making it through. And then, once you set that up, this is the comparative aspect, then you use a sample of unknown concentration that has some amount of solute in it of interest, and less light will get through that, right? Because some of that light will be absorbed by the particles of solute. And so by comparing that lesser light that makes it through to the more light that makes it through on the blank, the instrument makes a calculation of how much actually was absorbed by your sample. And that's what absorbance is. And the greater that absorbance, the more solute particles must have been present to do that absorbing. Because remember, when you absorb a photon, it doesn't exist. It's not going to make it to the screen. That's the whole idea of spectrophotometry. So once you get to the point of making your measurements, make sure you prepare your instrument by using the instructions tell you which one, the correct tube to use as your blank. You don't have to re-zero this every time you make a measurement, by the way. You zero it once at the beginning, and then you simply put your samples in one at a time and write down the numbers. You don't have to re-zero it in between. Okay. Now think about the overall goal here. It's to assess the enzyme activity. But you'll notice that there's this whole story about this milk production or whatever the story is in the laboratory manual. That's totally made up just to go along with the reality. I'm just going to straight tell you what you're doing, the reality of it. You're investigating a specific enzyme called lactase. So this plant enzyme that's part of this fictitious story, it's actually lactase. Okay, now lactase, you can tell that's an enzyme because it ends in A-S-E. Remember I said that some enzymes are named for their substrate. That's true for lactase. The naturally occurring, the normal, in other words, substrate for lactase is lactose. That's how it got its name. What sort of thing is lactose? It's not milk, but milk contains lactose. What does the OSE ending tell you? It's a sugar, but there's different sizes, right? How big a sugar is lactose? Three what? It's two, but what? Two what? What are the subunits that make up carbohydrates, which is what lactose is? What is it? Monosaccharides. So remember, table sugar is a disaccharide because it's made up of glucose and fructose. Lactose is another disaccharide. But in the case of lactose, the two constituent monosaccharides, before they're linked together, are glucose and galactose. Okay, each of these is a monosaccharide, a molecule in its own right if it's by itself. But if you hook them together with a glycosidic linkage, you make a disaccharide called lactose, which is milk sugar. Got its name because lactation is production of milk. All right? Now, Lactose is the natural substrate, meaning for lactase, meaning it can fit into the active site of lactase, the enzyme. And when it does, the effect of the enzyme, the reaction that it speeds up, is the hydrolysis, or the splitting apart of lactose, so the products will be glucose and galactose in equal amounts, because there's one of each for each individual lactose that you start with. Back to this goal of assessing the enzymatic activity. You could actually do this either of three ways, because you have one reaction occurring, right? Conversion of lactose into glucose and galactose. So to assess how well the enzyme is performing that reaction, or helping it out, you could measure how much glucose builds up in a given amount of time, right? Or you could measure how much galactose builds up in amount of time, right? Or you could measure how much lactose disappears in a given amount of time. Because as the reaction proceeds, lactose is going to be eliminated because it's turning into glucose and galactose. Any one of those three will give you an indication of how well the enzyme is functioning. But there's a problem with this. To use spectrophotometry, you have to have a solute that you're looking for that is able to absorb photons in the usable range of the instrument. Because remember, when a photon encounters an object, there's three possibilities. It can go right through it, transmission, it can reflect off of it, or it can be absorbed. Alright, well, the problem with measuring disappearance of lactose or appearance of glucose or appearance of galactose is that all three of these substances are transparent to the photons. So spectrophotometry isn't the answer. It can't tell you how much is disappearing or appearing because the photons go right through all three of these molecules. And that's why instead of using the normal substrate for lactase to assess lactase's activity, we're using a surrogate or replacement substrate. We've talked about the specificity of enzymes. Any given enzyme has a specific substrate it works with. But it's not necessarily one substrate and no other. Sometimes there's more than one similar kind of molecule that will fit into that active site, and therefore the enzyme can work for one or the other. All right, that's what we're going to take advantage of. There's a molecule similar to lactose that we're going to use as a surrogate substrate called ONPG. That's the stuff you've already put in your tubes. Now, that's all caps because that's an abbreviation for orthonitrophenyl beta-D galactopyranoside. But you don't have to remember that name. Just ONPG is the substrate. It's a second substrate. Right? Lactose is a substrate. ONPG is another substrate that's shaped enough like lactose that it can also fit into the active site of lactase, the enzyme. Everyone following me? Also, just like lactose, ONPG is a two-part thing. It's made of two parts stuck together. One of those is the same as one of the parts of lactose. Galactose is one part of ONPG. The other part, though, instead of being glucose, is a molecule called O-nitrophenol. All right. Now, galactose is not useful to us, like I said before. That's why we can't measure it with the spectrophotometer because it goes through it. ONPG is also transparent, so we can't use the disappearance of ONPG as a way to get to enzyme activity. But O-nitrophenol does absorb photons, which is why it gives it it looks to us as though it's yellowish in solution. The more yellow, the more O-nitrophenol there is there. All right, so this is what we're taking advantage of. The fact that a single ONPG that you start with can be broken with the help of lactase, the enzyme, into galactose, which is invisible, and O-nitrophenol, which can be detected by the spectrophotometer. So by using this second substrate, we can use spectrophotometry to get a number for how much O-nitrophenol gets produced in a given amount of time, which is an indication of how well the enzyme is working. All right? Is that all clear? Okay. Well, that's what you're making your measurements for eventually. Now, there's two separate experiments here. Well, that means we have different independent variables. The green sheeters are using what as the independent variable? What's your independent variable, green sheeters? Independent variable is what you adjust, right? What's different in your different tubes? Well, what specifically?
Lactose.
Right, the amount of lactose that's present. You're all using ONPG, but the green sheet people, the so-called lactose experiment, is using ONPG and lactose in combination. Two different substrates for the same experiment, right? Either one of them can fit into that active site. So if they're both present, what from lecture did you learn could be happening? Both lactose and ONPG, either one of them, can fit into the active site. So if they're both there in the presence of the enzyme, what can happen? What kind?
They're at the active site?
Yes, they both fit into the active site. You guys can answer too, even though you're doing the temperature experiment.
Can we start with a C?
Yes.
Competitive inhibition.
Competitive inhibition, exactly. Right? Which means what you should expect is the more lactose there is, the more likely it's going to win out for the active site and not let ONPG in there. Which means you're going to be making plenty of this invisible stuff, but not much O-nitrophenol, and it should be a low activity, a low amount of absorbance, right? Now, you red sheeters are doing temperature, so you're using only the one substrate, ONPG, but you're doing it at different temperatures. Why would temperature matter? Yeah, that's what you're measuring, but why would temperature change the activity? Exactly right. Temperature changes shapes of proteins. Enzymes are proteins. So if it's not at the optimum temperature, either too great or too small a temperature, the shape won't be correct, and that'll slow it down. Plus, if it's too hot, what can happen? Denaturation. And if it's too cold, even if it doesn't permanently denature the enzyme, what's the other problem of too low a temperature? Well, not stop, but everything slows down. All particles are slower by definition at low temperature, right? And so there's less frequent encounters between substrate and enzyme at lower temperatures. So that's the rationale for both. Okay, now, when you do your report, which, as I said, don't start it until I give you grades for the previous one. But even though you have to understand both experiments and you talk to each other before you leave about that, you only have to write up the one that you're actually doing. So you only have to make one graph, either the lactose graph or the temperature graph. But importantly, either of these graphs is different from what you've done before, because you should not be fitting a line to these data. There's not a linear relationship, right? So I don't want you to fit anything, a curve or a line. Just give me the actual dots. Because what you really care about is whichever one is highest. Right? The Y is enzyme activity. The X is what's in your tube, or what the temperature is, or how much lactose is present, depending on your experiment. But whichever one of those gives the highest activity, the highest dot on the graph, that's the best condition of the ones that you tested. That's the point. Is that all clear? Now, the manual tells you to give mini presentations to each other. That doesn't have to be formal presentations, really. Just talk to each other. First of all, exchange your numbers so that you have one of the other two groups' numbers. Doesn't matter which other group you use. There's two temperatures, two lactoses. But each group needs, each person has to have data from both experiments. Okay, so trade your numbers. But then also just make sure you talk enough before you leave to understand what you did differently compared to the other experiment and what the results were. That's it. Okay? Now that I'm done, you should make sure you put... One other thing about the spectrophotometer. I was about to say put on gloves, which you should do to make your final measurements, because making your measurements requires you to use these special tubes, these square tubes, which are called cuvettes. Cuvettes are the tubes that you use in a spectrophotometer. You can't put your tube that it's in, the microcentrifuge tube, into the well of the spectrophotometer and expect to get any numbers. It has to be in a special cuvette. But, unfortunately, a square can be rotated. You can fit a square peg into a square hole four different ways, right? It'll fit, including these things into the well. But make sure you put them in the right direction. As you'll see, there's two faces that are kind of frosted or they have lines on them. That's not where the light should pass through. The light needs to pass through the transparent sides of the cuvette. And if you look at your spectrophotometer, there's a little triangular mark on one side of the well on the spectrophotometer. And there should be a little triangular mark on this that you match up to make sure you're putting it in the right orientation. Just ask me individually if that doesn't make sense to you. But to use these things, you know, as soon as I finish talking, finish up your tubes according to the instructions. But one of you who's not finishing up the tubes in each group should go ahead and get a computer out of the chest over there, hook up the Vernier spectrophotometer and get it set up. And I can help you set that up if the instructions on the laminated card aren't clear. All right, that's it.